And today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how He guides us and how He teaches us to pray and how He's already praying for us. But before we do, watch this.
Right, then they explain to me, right, your neighbor is the person sitting next to you. Listen, I'm brand new at this Christian stuff. I didn't even know you're supposed to pray out loud, let alone this lady. I don't even know this lady. What am I supposed to pray about? Lord, help these bumps go down on this lady's face. She went first. She was praying all good. And she must have been John the Baptist's little sister or something. She was like, "Dear Heavenly Father, you said your word in the 6th chapter, the 33rd book of the book of Matthew, the 601st word on page 1248. Lord, you said, but see, S is a search. He isn't everywhere. He is an excellent K is in kingdom. You're the Alpha, Nisi, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. I'm thinking, man, she even knows his nicknames. Now it's my turn to pray, right? But I don't got the spiritual vocabulary. It's just, but I'm not going to let her out pray me. So I'm like, okay, God, first of all, you are good people. You were good, Lord. You were good. You were good to the last drop, Lord. Because, Lord, I just got to obey my thirst, Lord. You know, because choosing moms choose Jesus. Because, you know, after the rocket's red glare, Lord, it gave proof to the night, Lord. I believe I can fly, amen.
Oh, my goodness.
How in the world am I going to follow that?
No.
How in the world am I going to follow that? I think there's really only one way. We'll go straight to the scripture. And if you know anything about the book of Romans, you know how it functions for us today from all those thousands of years ago. It's a how-to manual. And it's a love letter to all of us that transcends time. We know how to do some of the things. Don't be getting on my bad side. It's a how-to manual, how to be a Christian, and it tells us some of the things that we have to do. We have to do like the Stephen ministers. We go to one another. We engage. It tells us how to do the bridge the gap things, give from your heart. And one of the things that Paul put in this in his great wisdom is a discourse on the Holy Spirit. And something that we all have to do. We all may not be able to get out. We all may not be able to be Stephen ministers, but we all have to wait. We have to wait for something. As a personal note, I spent yesterday waiting with my best friend of 30-some-odd years for his mom to go home to Jesus. And she finally did in the middle of the day. And we were waiting. And then afterwards, we were waiting again. And right in the middle of that, William sent me a text, and he didn't know what was going on. I was the minister in this case. And he said, "Can you read the scripture tomorrow?" Wow. And I made a deal with him. I said, "I'll read Romans 8, 26 and 27 if you give me a bonus verse, 8, 28, because that's the money shot." So here now, on waiting from Paul, the 8th chapter of Romans, 26, 27, and 28 from the NIV. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, in our waiting. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that all things, in all things, God works for the good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Amen?
Yes. The Holy Spirit helps us with many things, and today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit helps us with prayer. One of my favorite stories about prayer has to do when I was very, very young. I looked up to my grandmother because she could just pray at a drop of a hat. And so I kind of wanted to be like her. And once a year, our family would gather at her place in the backyard for a big family picnic. She would usually lead the prayer. We'd gather in a circle. On this particular summer day, I went to my grandmother and I said, "I'd like to have the prayer." And she said, "That'll be wonderful." So we gathered around, and it came time for the prayer. And she said, "Now, little William will guide us in the prayer today." And nothing came out of my mouth. I was totally petrified. I couldn't say anything. And I just squeezed her hand, and then she prayed, and we went on. Later on, she told me that was all right, that God heard my prayer. Well, she didn't know it at the time, but I told God I would never, ever volunteer to pray again. And you know the rest of the story. I did learn how to pray because I learned how to pray by being around people like my grandmother. How else do you learn how to pray? You're around people who pray. You're in a community of prayer. You're surrounded by people who model it for you. You pray not as you should, but as you can. It is a time of growth, primarily through education. The disciples went to Jesus and said, "Hey, we don't know how to pray. Will you teach us?" It's a part of education. And so we can learn how to pray. And you know, as a minister, I should be able to pray at the drop of a hat. It's amazing. I was talking with Polly yesterday or last night or this morning, I forget, about how many times I've been called upon to pray just recently. Well, before this service, a couple walked through and they said, "Listen, we're moving to New York. We're leaving. This is our last Sunday." The woman was crying. She had mixed emotions. They needed to go up to New York, but they were leaving this place and their community, and they wanted a word of prayer. So I prayed with them. Yesterday, we had a happy occasion. We went to a graduation party for Lydia Herring. While we were at the party, someone suggested that, "Hey, why don't we get the preacher to pray?" So we were in the kitchen, and the preacher prayed. The other day, I started premarital counseling with my niece and her fiancé, who are at Fort Hood, Texas. I was on the phone with them, and before I closed out, I said, "Hey, how about a word of prayer?" It just countless times within the last couple of days and even this past week. And so, you know, I might be able I should be able to say with confidence that I've learned how to pray, but I've also learned something else. There are situations that we all come up against that are so very difficult that we don't even know what to pray for. We don't know what's best. We're faced with decisions and situations that are simply overwhelming. A loved one's on life support. What do we do? Is it time to let go or hold on? Is it what's best for everyone? What is the way to pray in this situation? We're overwhelmed by the enormity of suffering. I'll never forget when 9/11 happened. Woody Wells was on a trip, so everybody looked to me as the spiritual leader of our church. And we were hosting a community-wide prayer service for the victims of 9/11. And I'll never forget that I was in my study the night before, and I just thought to myself, "Lord, I know that I'm going to pray. I don't know how to pray." There's been times in my own personal life when I've faced things. There's been times when I've gone places and I have literally been put into situations that have overwhelmed me with the suffering and with the enormity of the problems that people face. And so I've really learned to pray out of my weakness. And what I've learned is this, is that knowing our weakness should not lead us to pray less, but lead us to pray more. Because as the scripture says, that in our weakness, the Holy Spirit intercedes with words too deep for sighs. And what that says is this, that in those moments when I know not what to say, I know not what to pray for, the Holy Spirit residing within me is making those very words and putting them together and expressing them to God and connecting my heart with God's heart. And I may not even know what the Holy Spirit is saying, but I can trust this, that God is hearing my prayer, that ultimately what we want is the very best, whatever that very best is. And we say simply things like this, Lord, you know best, into your hands. Lord, not my will, but your will. There are those moments of surrender. And as we come to that place, it's good to know that praying is not dependent upon the words that we use, but upon the Holy Spirit that resides within us. The Holy Spirit takes residence in us. And during those moments in our weakness, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. So, what I've learned is it's okay that praying is not dependent upon the right words on certain occasions. Rather, it's a matter of trusting the Spirit within us to connect us to the heart of God, who knows our hearts and knows our needs, who hears and answers our prayers. I also know that the Holy Spirit teaches us some things about prayer. You know, in Romans, Galatians it is, the word says that His Spirit bears witness to our spirit that we are His children. We cry out, Abba, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what the Holy Spirit teaches us about prayer are some fundamental things. That when we go to God, we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic word for Father, but it is in term of endearment. It is the word that someone would use when they're talking about their daddy or their mommy. It's the one who's near and dear to them, the one that they know loves them, the one that they have received tenderness from and care from. And so the Holy Spirit, by nature of being in us, helps us to cry out to a Abba Father, to a good and loving God whose tenderness and security and love we can trust. So the Holy Spirit teaches us some fundamental things. That when we pray to our Abba Father. The Holy Spirit teaches us also to know that we belong to this loving Heavenly Father. As I was sharing with the little children up here, these are ways that we can always pray. And so I have a breath prayer that I can say when I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, or any time during the day, but it's a breath prayer. You breathe in, Abba Father. You breathe out, I belong to you. Abba Father, I belong to you. You know, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit always. And as we live out of that breath prayer, we're always praying in the Spirit. We're always in the presence of God. And we're prepared for whatever we may face on a particular day. And in any particular situation, we have some words we can use. The three truths that the Holy Spirit teaches us is that God is a Abba Father, a loving, kind, just, tender God that we can go to and we can trust, and that we belong to Him. Our security is in Him. Abba, Father, I belong to you. But the truth also is this, the Spirit prays in us. So we can say something similar to this. We can take our breath prayer, Abba, Father, I belong to you. Your Spirit prays in me. Now, the author of the book that I've been using for preparing these messages, Trevor Hudson, says that this is what he's learned to do. That when he prays his breath prayer, Abba, Father, I belong to you, he adds to it, as I just said, your Spirit prays in me. And he rests in a moment of quietness as he imagines that the Holy Spirit is indeed praying and lifting up the very words that need to be said to God. And as he sits in quietness, as he trusts that God is hearing and God is at work in his life and in the world around him, as he sits in quietness, sometimes there is a prompting. A person's name may come to him. A solution to a problem may come to him. Something bubbles up. Either it bubbles up or it doesn't bubble up. But if something bubbles up, we call that a prompting of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it is the guidance that we've been seeking for. Sometimes it's the way that we need to pray or the thing that we need to do. But it's a way of praying in the Spirit at all times. The most important thing that I can say about prayer, other than what I've already said, is that it's not so much the words, but the posture of the heart. How do we approach God? And there are three ways. We approach Him with a humble heart because we know our weakness. We know that we depend upon God. God, you are God and I am not. And I humbly come before you because I don't know everything. I know my weaknesses. I come before you with a humble heart because I'm ready to learn. I'm ready for instruction. I'm ready for wisdom. You can't learn if you already know everything. And so a humble heart is part of the posture that we bring to God. And the second thing is an expectant heart. Why do we pray to God if we never expect Him to respond, if we never expect God to answer prayers? See, we believe that God is already at work in the world and in our lives. He's at work 24/7. He is already at work for good in the life of the world. So we don't know exactly what God might do, but we know God is always doing something, and we want to be expectant. We want to be looking for it. So we come with a humble heart, with an expectant heart, and then lastly, we come with a heart that is yielded. In other words, when we come to the end of our prayer, it's not about getting God to come around to our side. It's about submitting to Him and saying, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me to do, I will do. I yield myself to your will. Now, when we know that God is good and loving and just and tender, we can yield. When we don't know someone's character, when we don't know whether we can trust them, why would we want to yield to them? And so, what we learn is that our posture is we have a humble heart, expectant heart, and a yielded heart. And we have these three truths that the Spirit helps us with. God is our Abba Father, we belong to Him, and the Spirit prays in us. This week, I want you to begin to practice what I call affirmation prayers. Affirmation or prayers are things that we say because there are things that we believe. But sometimes we are still growing into claiming that as a truth for ourselves. And the way that we grow into that is by saying it, by repeating it. And so the affirmation prayer that I want you to learn to pray this week is simply the one I've already said. Abba, Father, I belong to you. As you go through this week, pray that affirmation prayer. And the more that you pray this prayer, the more you will live into the reality of this truth that God is some loving Heavenly Father that you could trust, that you belong to Him, and whatever it is that you go through in life, you know that prayer is not the last resort, should not be the last resort, but should be the first response. Our first response is always to go to God. You know, the Holy Spirit does so many things. The Holy Spirit is really God's gift of Himself in the present, loving us. We started that series off with that. in the book by Trevor Hudson, there are several other things that he says that the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads us into a deeper shared life of community with other believers. The Holy Spirit works within us for personal transformation. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. We talked about that last week. And then the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. And next week we'll talk about the Holy Spirit empowers us to witness. And then we're going to close out on something that's very, very special. The Holy Spirit engages us with the needs of the world and the suffering of this world, that we might become the means of healing, and we might become the ambassadors of reconciliation, and that we might be a part of what God is doing to mend this broken world. The Holy Spirit is really a person who's always at work. Let us pray. Gracious God, we simply say thank you that you are our Abba Father. Perhaps there are persons who need to know that's your nature. For whatever reason, Lord, it may be hard for persons to trust because other persons have not been trustworthy, because things have happened in our life that have confused us. But we would pray for clarity now to know that we can come to you always and believe that you have our best welfare in mind. You are loving and kind. You are our Abba Father. And also, Lord, we pray this. You are our Abba Father. Help us never to forget that we belong to you. May our security not be in our possessions. May our security not be in our accomplishments. May our security never be in ourselves, but may our security simply be in you, that we belong to you. Come, Holy Spirit, and help persons right now to know that that's their security, that it's in you. Come, Holy Spirit, and reside in our hearts. Help us in our weaknesses. Help us to go through this new week knowing that you are already at work in us and in the world for good. And we want to join you as a part of that work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we close out our service, Polly and I are up here for prayer as well. You're invited to come and we'll pray with you for whatever your needs are. Let us stand.